Computer Talk, April 1989. Well, hello everybody once again. These are your editors, Julia
and Frank
Cosgrove, doing the April edition of Computer Talk for you, the magazine of the VDU Group. Hope you all had a very joyful Easter, as we did. We're doing this tape for you on Thursday the 30th of March, so it will be with Ray Hosan in early April, ready for copying. Well, we certainly have quite a lot for you this time round, and so we hope that you will enjoy this April edition. So, first of all, after welcoming you all to Computer Talk, let us go over now to our General Secretary, Mike Cassidy, for Secretary's Desk.
Well, hello once again. Welcome to the Secretary's Desk for the Spring Quarter magazine of Computer Talk. And I say Spring Quarter because you may not get this till sort of end of April, beginning of May. We're not quite sure yet. No particular news to report this time. We've had a few more members added to our list in the past quarter, and particularly a healthy contingency from Scotland, courtesy of those listening to Playback magazine in Glasgow and thereabouts. So welcome all you good Scots to the magazine. Hope you enjoy it, and we look forward to hearing from some of you in the future. Ray Hosan told me that there were only about 15 copies of Computer Talk sent out at the last for the January issue. I imagine a lot haven't continued after the possible demise of Computer Talk after October. But I think it'll probably build up again. And it may be that those who don't want to continue, well, other things have come along instead. Now, as I say, not much news. The one thing I can now provide is the Apollo set program for the BBC, if wished. You can either contact me for it, or you can contact David Calderwood. His phone number is 0908 608 666, and that's a daytime phone number, 9 to 5, office hours. If you phone in the evenings, you will get an answer phone message on which you, after which you cannot leave a message of your own. It is just an information message, and that is the Dolphin Systems helpline. But you can call me if you need advice for the Apollo, and you will notice that in my next piece at the BBC again, the Apollo will be used, so that you can hear what it sounds like, you can get an idea of what you think. I find it quite pleasant. I know people have said at the beginning they find it a little bit sort of, well, different. Possibly some of its inflections may sound a little artificial, but I think on the whole it is a much more comfortable speech to listen to if you're reading long periods of text, which I quite often do on both the BBC and the PC, more on the PC now, but certainly on the BBC as well sometimes. So, you know, if you're into buying a new synthesizer or your first synthesizer and you've got the cash available, then you can buy an Apollo for $395 plus VAT. Contact David for price, definite prices, they may change. If you can't afford an Apollo, you can get a Mimic for about £128, I think. Now that may include the PC software, so it's worth checking that for the BBC it may be even cheaper. Again, check with David, he's the man to tell you the exact current prices. Right, well, I think that is all. I shall look forward to talking to you again on the Summer Quarter magazine. And so, bye-bye for now.
Well, thanks to Mike Cassidy for the secretary's desk there, and we will hear from him later on in the tape. He did mention Ray Hosan having only had 15 tapes for the January issue, and some of you will remember that last October it was touch and go as to whether the magazine would stay quarterly or 6 monthly, and it had been suggested that the next one would be April, and that will be, I think, one of the reasons why a lot of people didn't send in their tapes in January. However, if there are some of you who would like to hear the January issue, we have made arrangements with Ray Hosan, whereas he has got a copy of the January issue, so that when you send him a tape, put a message on the tape and a piece of paper or rubber band around the tape, and he will do you a copy of the January issue of Computer Talk. And of course we must thank him for copying all the issues of Computer Talk down at St Dunstan's in London. However, also Mike Cassidy was mentioning the Apollo programme for use with the BBC, and Gordon Smith has asked me to mention that he is doing work for Dolphin Systems, and if you would like a copy of the programme for the Dolphin Systems for the BBC from him, you just need to send him a disc, he will put it on for you and return it by the next post.
If you don't send him a disc, he can't send you the information, as I believe he's had some discs sent and not got the... He sent discs out and not got any discs back for doing so.
However, his address, in case you've forgotten what it is Gordon Smith, number 9, Blackett Avenue, which is B-L-A-C-K-E-T-T, Blackett Avenue, Norton, N-O-R-T-O-N, Stockton-on-Tees, Cleveland, T-S-20, that's Tango Sierra 20, 2-E-X, 2 Echo X-ray.
Well, the next item is from Richard Bartholomew. It's a phone call which I made to him. Sorry about the slight distortion on the tape, but it's just how it recorded, and it's explaining all about what will be happening in Edinburgh.
It's going to be a display, or exhibition rather, of aids and services for the blind. Primarily computer-based equipment, likes of speech output devices, braille terminals, some reading devices like the Opticon, Kurzweil reading machine.
I suppose braille-to-print equipment or...
There will be some braille-to-print equipment.
What time will it start?
Right, it starts at... what time is it? 10 o'clock, I think it is.
Yes, 10 o'clock. Okay.
And closes at 4:30.
And whereabouts is it held?
Right, it's held in the Roxburgh Hotel.
People were to come by train, appear at what station's best to appear?
Waverley Station.
Waverley Station, yes, okay.
And probably the best idea, it was only about a mile walk from the station.
Yes, so it's on Princess Street.
That's right, yeah, the Waverley Station is the one end of Princess Street.
Yeah.
And the hotel is at the other end of Princess, which just off of the other end of Princess Street.
Right.
Up a street called South Charlotte Street.
Yes.
And on the opposite side of Princess Street to the railway station as well.
Yes, oh well, that's handy to know. So starting at 10, finishing at 4:30.
That's right, yes. The dates are June the 2nd and June the 3rd.
June the 2nd and June the 3rd are the dates, what do you? Right, okay, I think that's really all I wanted to know, because probably...
Thanks for watching, dude.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Cheers.
Yeah, well, once again, apologies for the slight distortion on there. I think our little machine didn't like the tape it was using at the time. Anyway, as I said earlier on the tape, we're going to hear a little bit more now from our General Secretary down in Norfolk, Michael Cassidy.
Hello once again, this time with my computing hat on. First of all, I think a few words about some updates to Teletext. Well, in January 1989, the ATS ROM version 3 was released. You can purchase it from BBC Enterprises, not particularly expensive. I think it's about $9.95 or something like that. But I obtained it via CFAX itself. I downloaded it from CFAX and then had a chip blown of that ROM image. And so I now have it installed. So it's ATS version 3. The advantages of it over the 2.58 chip that I had in before. Well, let's demonstrate. There's one quite subtle advantage, actually. Let's go into Teletext.
ETL-D100, DPC-1D100.
Right, we're now in the
D100
index mode for BBC One. Now, say I want to look at the news headline.
D100, D1.
Now, I've hit the page number, or the first number of the first digit of the page number I want, which is 102. Now, on the ATS 2.58 ROM, that number would be overwritten by the next index page coming up, and you can get all sorts of confusion occurring. But now, with this new version, version 3, they've set the page grabber such that once you insert the first digit of a new page number, it holds it and it won't overwrite that page. So now I can go on to 102.
D102.
Wait for it. There it is.
Screen reading.
Go into screen read.
D102 CFAX 401214 23383823.
So we've now read the header of the page 102. Let's go down.
101201 headlines 1502501 newsflash 104204 budget Jim Silas suspended 103203 Clefan DR accepts blame 106206 phone employee faces gun charges.
And so on and so forth. So you see, and I can come out of screen reading,
exit,
hit the space bar,
D102, D102,
and now I can then select a new page as before. So that's one quite useful difference. The other difference is on BBC Two. Let's change to BBC Two.
D100, BBC2, D200, D200.
All right, we're now in BBC Two. Now, if I do shifted F6, I think it is. I had an awful job counting those, didn't I? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6. No, it's F5. Shifted F5. Awful, isn't it? I get so used to it with the PC, with the cap function keys 1 to 10. Shifted F5.
Finding IBM.
Hang on to your braces, folks. I've been really fooled.
Okay, say log, low not received, okay, error, retry one out on one block received, use few down cursor please to select a file and press return to download, press escape to exit.
You get a bit of a few oddities with the speech because of the type of graphics used on that little message. Now let's see what there is on the IBM catalogue. There appears to be nothing, and it's budget day, March 14th, and on budget day, as on certain other days, election day and various things like that, they suspend the telesoftware service. So there ain't no telesoftware, folks, so I can't demonstrate how to download that, but the essence of it is that you can now download the IBM software to disk. I had managed to do it with the 2.58 version of the ATS ROM, but with difficulty and with dubious results. Didn't always work. So now you can download long files. I mean, there was one a couple of weeks ago of I think it was 60-odd K, which you can download to disk, given that you've got a nice sort of empty-ish disk, so you've got enough space to put it into. And you can then transfer your PC file over to a PC, and the ways you can do that are, most easily, given that you've got a 1770 disk controller, using the Backsoft DOS transfer package. Backsoft is a Cambridge company who have produced a very good package for transferring files from the BBC to the PC or vice versa. Not literally from the BBC to the PC, but you do it from BBC disk to PC disk on the BBC micro. It's an excellent package. You can hear a very good demonstration of it on the March issue of the Dolphin Support magazine Whistler by our good friend Albert Yeo, and I think we'd find that a very good package. That is the easiest way to do it, given you've got the right BBC equipment. If you haven't, then you can go the more difficult way of using various file transfer protocols to transfer from the BBC to the PC, but I would recommend, if you're doing that sort of thing, you transfer your program at a bit rate of 1200 bits per second, not higher. Well, you might just escape with doing it at 2400 bits per second, but I wouldn't recommend any higher. You can get some funny things happening and your program's not working. So that is the other nice innovation of the ATS version 3 ROM, which I think it makes it an extremely useful ROM, particularly in these times of people with beebs and PCs.
P100.
I just hit the escape, and we're now
P200.
We're now back to the index page for BBC Two.
Basic.
I've now left the Teletext terminal, gone back into Basic. Now, they are the main changes. There are a few other little technical changes that I don't think we need to worry about, unless you're programming in either Basic or in Assembler. They've adjusted some of the Osword calls and that sort of thing, but we won't worry too much about those. I don't do much programming to drive the ATS or the Teletext adapter in Basic. It's all done for us by these good people up at BBC and various other places. I think that is about all on that. Now, this ATS ROM I'm referring to is the Acorn ATS ROM. There is also a ROM for the GIS Teletext adapter, the General Information Teletext adapter, which was also transmitted at the same time. I do have an image of that on disk. If anyone wants it, let me know. It's public domain, it was transmitted, there's no problem there, so it can be passed around. And then you can either blow your own chip or load it into sideways RAM and run it that way if you have a General Information Systems Teletext adapter. There are a few little advantages of the GIS one. You can do printing from printing screens straight from that ROM, whereas with the Acorn one you have to have a little extra program loaded in to do it. You might also be interested in a series being transmitted at the moment, a series on Teletext, how to drive a Teletext adapter without a Teletext ROM. It's a complex series for experienced assembler programmers, but there are some useful little routines transmitted with it that you might find quite interesting to play with. So all those CFAX fiends, have a look at those and download them. There's also another little file they transmit each week called Utils, and what that does, it's a basic program. You then chain the program Utils when you've downloaded it onto your disk, and it will then give you a list of menu options which will offer you a series of different program packages to download from CFAX, and they're apparently going to alter these every few weeks, so keep a regular eye on them, because they're going to pick up programs that have been transmitted in the past, and there may be a few that you may have missed out on. For instance, one set is the ATS, the T/B/ATS series done by Jeremy Brayshaw a year or so ago, well in fact nearly 2 years ago now, and sadly they did not do a repeat transmission of it. I don't know why, they did promise us one, but it never came. It may be because of the advances in the teletext system, and it may be that we'll get one in the near future. But it was a very good series on of utilities for the teletext adapter, plus some good text files on general information on teletext. Again, I have got some of them if people are interested. I haven't got 1 or 0, 1, 2 or 3, but I have got numbers 4 to 13. So if anyone's interested in those, I think they're you know, public domain, which you can sort of share around without any problem. So there we are, I think, provided you don't start copying them, selling them, that sort of thing. Otherwise, no problems. So there's the news on teletext. I think quite a few of us are using it now, so it is well worth mentioning.
Well, thanks to Mike Cassidy there for the news on the update for teletext. Now, he did also mention this program which is useful for copying software from different systems for use on your own system. And he also mentioned that Albert Yeo had done a demo on the Whistler. However, you don't need to get the Whistler to hear this demo, because Albert has sent it to me as well. So here he is to tell you all about it.
I wanted to tell you about a program, or a set of programs, that I found very useful during recent months, which has enabled me to copy to and from between BBC disk operating systems and IBM MS-DOS. It's a suite of programs, and they cost £17 each. When you order them, you inform the supplier what computer you've got, and they will send you a disk with the appropriate program or programs on it to enable you to use your computer as the host and to copy between your computer and other disk formats. It's very versatile, and I have two programs because I have a BBC Master. If you have a BBC machine of any sort, these two programs would suit. They are DOS Copy, that's DOSCOPY, or one word, and CPMBEEB, CPMBEEB. If you have an IBM or an Amstrad or a Commodore or whatever, Apricot or any of them, Atari or whatever it is, you tell them, and then they send you the appropriate programs. They send you a disk, incidentally, which is set up to work from a boot file. So you start by booting the disk. But what happens is, when you boot the disk, you are asked certain questions by the computer. First of all, it automatically senses which computer you've got. So because I'm using BBC, when I boot the disk, it automatically senses that I've got a Master 128. If I'd got a Model B or a B plus or an A, or I think even the Electron will work okay, it would automatically sense that and store that information in a file which it would automatically create on the disk. If you changed to another computer, you would erase that file. I've forgotten what it's called now offhand, but it would appear in the catalogue, and you would erase it, delete it, and start again with another computer. But having once used it on my computer, it automatically knows then. It's made this little file and stored the information that I've got a Master 128. So I don't have to worry about that. Then it will ask you some questions about your computer. It will ask you, or about your system. It will say, how many drives have you? And you enter 1, 2, 3, or 4, or whatever it is. Then it will say, how many tracks on drive 0? And you will enter the number of tracks. Now, I prefer to use 80 track, so I enter 80. Then it will ask how many tracks on drive 1, yeah. And I again enter 80. You could enter 40 for either of them or both of them. It then creates a file called tracks, 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 and stores that information in it. Now, unless you want to change that setup and use 40 track or something else, or something other than you've specified, you don't have to, you're not asked those questions again next time you run the program. It takes that information automatically from tracks. You only need to do that if you want to change the tracks that you're using. You delete the file tracks and it will then ask those questions again and recreate that file. So that's done with. Then, for a reason which I don't understand, it asks you for the date. Now, if you've got a machine with a calendar and clock built in, or a board with one on it connected, it will automatically take the calendar and the time from that clock. If you haven't, it'll wait for you to type them in. Then it asks for the time, and the same applies. And then it tells you to press return, and when you do so, this is what you will hear. Now, if I press return, this is what happens.
Backspace disk and menu dash disk zero. Backspace disk menu dash disk zero. /BBC-EFS/ETS. BECARN640K. MS-DOS. CECARN800K. MS-DOS. BEPRIT.315K. MS-DOS. BEPRIT.720K. MS-DOS. FETERIST360K. MS-DOS. TETERIST720K. MS-DOS. H2F720K. MS-DOS. IN160K. MS-DOS. JN320K. MS-DOS. KN180K. MS-DOS. LN360K. MS-DOS. NMDS/2720K. MS-DOS. And next menu. The previous menu. Press one of F-Digital. Backspace.
Now, that's the first part of the menu for disk, for drive zero. There are two more menus. If you press N, you'll get the next list in that menu, and then press N again and get the third list, and if you press N again, you'll go back to the first list. At any time, you can re-examine a list by typing P, previous menu, and it will repeat the list it's just given you. So there are actually 42 different systems you can use with this program. We won't go through the other parts of the same menu. They're all listing different computers and different disk systems. I shall select A because I want one of my systems that I'm copying between to be BBC DFS / ADFS. So I shall press A.
Backspace disk menu dash disk one. Backspace disk menu dash disk one. FETARN640K. MS-DOS. BEPRIT.300K. MS-DOS. CEPRIT.315K. MS-DOS. apricot720k, ms-dos.
Well, as you can hear, that was giving you the same list for the other drive, but with the exception of the one I'd already selected, because there was no point in copying between that and itself, so it doesn't need to give me that one again. And it would again go through all the three lists for drive one. Now I've selected BBC DFS ADFS for drive zero, so I'm going to select IBM 360K by pressing letter K on the keyboard, which is will give us 360K MS-DOS. So here we go.
Escape the red bar. Insert BBC-DFS/@syndrive0. Insert in 360K. In drive 1. Press a key when ready.
Right, if I can find it. I've got a disk here to put in drive 1. I've done that, now I've got to press a key, so I'll press space.
Backspace dot dot dt forward 27. Backspace dot dot dt forward 27. C dot d. D there at Ari. D arrays. F R net. H X out. N disk. D printer. R E name. D type. Qtwit. Star down and BBC.
Right. Now if I wanted to change my BBC system, it's on DFS at the moment. If I needed to use an ADFS disk, I would press star for a star command and then enter ADFS return, and it would then know that it was using now an ADFS disk. But we're not doing that, so we'll leave that. We've got a set of options. Copy, C for copy. D to get a list of directories and files on the IBM disk, if there are any. E to erase a file on the IBM disk. F to format a disk in the chosen format, which in this case is 360K MS-DOS. N for if you put a new disk in, another disk in, if you've changed disks. P to switch the printer on, or rather to initialize the printer, which must be switched on, of course, if you want to print. And that toggles, so having pressed P, it will inform you printer on. If you press P again, it will tell you printer off. Now, having switched the printer on, you could then press T for type, and it would rattle off, it would ask you for a file name, a DOS file name, and when given that, it would rattle off a printout of that file. Q will quit, of course, and at any time during the program you can press escape to abort. Perhaps we ought to format this disk in IBM 360K first. It is actually formatted, that doesn't matter, we'll reformat it, so we'll press F.
Number 91378. M360K. Press 1 of CPEFHNDRTQ star backspace escape to webart. Format in drive 1 for M360K.
Right, now I think it needs a Y. It doesn't say so, but I think we need a Y or an N. So we'll.
Dash continue. Y/N,
yes.
Y format in track 0, format in track 1, format in track 2, format in track 3, format in track 4, format in track 5, format in track 6, format in track 7, format in track 8, format in track 2-1, format in track 2-2, format in track 2-3, format.
Now, as you heard, it went through all the tracks, formatting them, and I didn't make you listen to all that, but it's just said, formatting complete. So,
number 91378.
I pressed space.
360K. Press 1 of CPEFHNDRTQ star, backspace, escape delay bar.
Right, now if I...
Backspace, dot, dot, e, t, forward, 27. Backspace, dot, dot, e, t, forward, 27. C, dot, e, d, directory, d, erase, f, format, h, hexum, n, disk, d, printer, r, rename, d, type, utlet, star, then BBC.
Right, now it's shut up at last, so I can now again press one of those options. We've formatted the disk in drive 1 for IBM 360 MS-DOS, and we can ask it to give us a list of files and directories on that disk, but there aren't any, so if we press D, it will simply say used 0, free 360. So we'll do that.
Number sign 1378 N360K. Press 1 of CPEFHNTRTQ star backspace escape to report. Directory used 0 3362496.
That's it. There's nothing on it, but it has been formatted, as you can tell. Now we press space.
Number sign 1378N360K. Press 1 of CPEFHNTRTQ star backspace escape to report. Backspace dot EP forward 27. Backspace dot dot e t forward 27 c copy d directory.
Now it's gone through all that list again, which I didn't insist on you listening to, so we'll try copying something this time, so we'll press C.
Number sign 1378N360K. Press 1 of CPEFHNTRTQ star backspace escape to report. Copy.
Right. Now, this is one of the prompts that doesn't speak, and it's defied all my efforts to make it speak. But it's actually asking, do you want to copy to or from BBC? Well, we're going to copy from, so we'll press F. Now it's not going to speak, but it's asking the name of the file, the BBC file, that you want to copy. Well, we know that there's a README file on this disk explaining about the program. So we'll try it. I hope I remember how it's done. I think it's read-me, but we'll try that. READ-ME. Now it's asking for the DOS file name, and we'll just call it read, READ, and press return. Now it's copying. Yes, it's copying. That's it. It's copying from a README file from the original disk, the BBC disk, onto, that's it, it's done, onto the IBM disk in MS-DOS format, 360K DOS. Oh, well, I should explain that the reason it keeps repeating this list of options, C, D, E, F, H and so on, is because on the screen, that is permanently at the bottom of the screen. So each time you do something, it reads the screen and comes across that list at the bottom. It's a nuisance, but there it is. So now we've copied it, we'll see if we can check that it's there by asking it for a list, a directory, or a list of files and directories.
N360K. Press 1 of CPEFHNTRTQ star backspace. Directory thread 1757 used 2048. 3360448.
Right, now I pressed D for directory, and it's actually given us a list which consists of one file called read, or red, as it says. It's told you how many bytes that file used, and it's told you how many have been used in total, and it's told you how many are left. So that proves that read is actually on that disk. We can, if we wish, we can press E and erase it, and prove by going to the directory that it's no longer there, and that it now has used zero, remainder are left. So we could do that. We could do a printout by pressing P to switch the printer on, and then T to type, and it would, if the printer's switched on and paper in, rattle off a copy of the file. And as you've heard, we formatted a disk. We've transferred a file from the BBC to the IBM. The same thing applies if you do it the other way. When it asks, without speech, for whether you want to transfer a file from or to the BBC, we pressed F for from. If we'd have pressed T for to, it would have asked us then for the DOS file name, and then the BBC file name we wanted to use to save it. And it would have done the same thing, transferring a file from 360K IBM MS-DOS to BBC. So as you can hear, it's very versatile. We won't demonstrate all the features, but they all work. The only nuisance is some of the prompts won't speak. And I've tried my usual fiddles to get speech into those parts of the program and failed. I may contact the suppliers and see if they're interested in modifying it for speech. They may not be, of course, but it may depend. They may say, well, if you can show that there's enough demand for it, then we will. But they are very helpful. They're very willing to sort out any problems you have. And they do say this in the literature, that should you have any difficulties in using the programs, send them the necessary information about your machine, and they'll do their utmost to make the thing work. And this is certainly true. I know of a case where somebody did have a problem and contacted them, and they went to quite considerable lengths to get him onto, get it working for him. The company is called Backsoft. That's BAKSOFT. Backsoft, all one word. And their address is 2020 Lees Avenue, and that's spelt L-E-Y-S, Lees Avenue, Cambridge, and the code is CB42AW. I hope you've enjoyed this little demo. I'll say goodbye until next time.
Well, thanks, Albert, to you for that very good in-depth demonstration of the Backsoft software, which can be used on most computers. And when you think about it, it is surprising how many friends you have who do use different computers, as the Commodore or the Spectrum or the Dragon, etc. And you often think how nice it would be to have one of their programs, but of course normally it won't work on your BBC. But with this, of course, you can get around that. So it is certainly something very useful and well worth the price of about £17. Well, we are coming to the end of side one. Either turn the tape over now or stay with the music until side two.
Thank you.